It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, dear friends. Great to be with you. We're going to continue our series about fear. Fear, the fear factor. You know, fear can really harm a person in more ways than one. I think it harms you emotionally. It can harm you physically. But the worst damage can be done on a spiritual level. We're going to talk about how to cast out fear, keep fear away from your life, and live victoriously. And it's all prescribed in God's holy word. Fear, the fear factor. Now, before we begin our talk today on fear factor, I'd like to invite you to write to us here with your prayer needs. We want to pray for you. Jesus Christ, my friends, is on the throne, and let me tell you something. He answers prayers, and he is mighty. He can pull down strongholds and bind the strong man. That's the devil. Why don't you go to him in prayer and let us pray with you? Just write to us and let us know that you need that help. And it's our privilege to pray for you. If you have a loved one that needs the Lord, if you have a loved one that's sick, if you're sick or ill, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you need more money just to get by and pay your necessities. Well, you know, God has the answer for that too. And I think he cares about those things. You know, the Lord Jesus never promised that we'd have Cadillacs and Mercedes and a big home. But he did say he would take care of us just the way he takes care of the birds that fly in the skies. Well, yes, my friends, never will you go hungry. Never will you go without some kind of a shelter. He will take care of the basic essentials. Now, if you don't believe that, my friends, well then, maybe you're just not depending on God enough. You're depending on yourself. Now, I'll admit, you've got to do what's right and put forth a little effort yourself. But even if, you know, you can't do it yourself, God can do it. Sometimes you say, well, everybody has turned against me. Nobody will give me a job. I'm too old. I've been sick and I lost my job, and now nobody will give me a job knowing that I'm sick or I'm old. Well, friends, that's where God comes in. He's in the miracle business. And he wants to hear from you. The Bible says we receive not because we ask not. Now, isn't that simple? We receive not because we ask not. Some people, the Bible says, ask amiss. Ask amiss. What does that mean? It means they ask for the wrong things. You know, some people don't have an old pickup or an old Chevrolet to drive, and they're going around asking God to give them a Lexus or a BMW or a Cadillac. Well, you know, sometimes we're just sort of unreasonable. Now, I know some of you would say, but if God's in the miraculous business, why don't we ask him for the very best? Well, I suppose it's okay to ask him for the very best. But you know, God will answer your prayers the way he wants. And if you ask for a Cadillac and he gives you a motor scooter, well, be thankful. Be thankful for that motor scooter. A lot of people don't have a motor scooter. So there's always something to thank God for in our lives. The fact that we're here. The fact that we're breathing. The fact that we're alive. Is there anybody out there that loves you? Anybody at all? Thank God for that. You say, there's nobody that loves me? Well, Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his life for you. So what complaint have we got, friends? And things are going to be a lot better in heaven. I can tell you that right now. You know, the old saints didn't have as much as the saints of today have. They really didn't. When I was a kid, the saints of God had very little. They were among the poor. They really were. Very few Bible-believing Christians had anything at all in the way of material goods. It seemed like they were always the people who lived on the other side of the track. But you know, it seemed they were always more happy, more content. They were more prosperous in terms of spiritual riches. God tells one of the churches in the book of Revelations, he said, I know of your poverty, but thou art rich. See, the world would say that's a contradiction. How can you be poverty stricken but rich? I knew people like that when I was young. I still know some of them today. They're in poverty, the world says. But if you talk to them, they say, no, I'm rich. I have the Word of God. I've got my loved ones. I've got the truth. I've got God's comfort. They say, I'm rich. See, friends, this is sort of up to our attitude. There's the old story, you know, of the young fella getting moving and going to a new town. And he walked down the sidewalk of the new town, and there was an old fella there on a rocking chair. And the young man stopped to talk to the old fella in this town that he had just moved to. He said, hey, old fella, what kind of town is this? What are the people like here? You got good people here or bad people? And the old fella looked at the young guy and sort of sized him up real quick. He said, well, what were the people like in the town where you came from? He said, oh, they were just bad. Nobody was friendly. Bunch of crooks ran the place. It was a bad town. They were all bad people there. The old man looked at him and said, well, you know, young man, that's exactly the kind of town you're going to find here too. That's exactly the same kind of town you're going to find here too. Now, I suppose if the young man had said, well, it was a wonderful town. Everybody was so friendly where I came from. They were lovely people. Worked hard, honest. I suspect the old timer would have said, well, that's just what you're going to find here too. Because the old man knew something. The young fellow was speaking from his heart. From the heart. That's where the words came out from his mouth. They were from the heart. He saw people like that. Now, I'm not trying to say that his town where he came from was bad or good, but you understand what I'm talking about. And I've never understood people that complained about God. As long as you got breath, what are you complaining about God for? Why do you blame God for your difficulties? I've talked to people and they say, I lost a loved one. I lost my job. I had this calamity. And boy, for a long time there, I was mad at God. Mad at God? Friends, listen to me. You better be very, very careful. I mean, you're talking about the King. You're talking about the Lord. And you're mad at Him? Well, you snivelly, no account. You better watch yourself, friends. Listen to me, friends. I want to tell you a little secret, a secret to success. When things are going bad for you, just count your blessings and say, Lord, I believe in you. I still believe in you. And whatever good that God has sent your way, if it's only the breath that you've got, if you can still hear or see or taste or whatever, feel, whatever senses you've got left, thank God for them. Whatever you've got going for you, it may be meager or almost nothing in terms of human, on a human scale, but you just thank God for those things. And you smile and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all things. And sometimes you might say, thank you for the bad things. That's right. God knows what you need. Maybe you needed something bad to wake you up. I know of a lot of men that God has sent misery in their lives, and you know it was the best thing that ever happened to them. Oh, I know, the world won't tell you that. I've actually prayed with Christian sisters that God would punish their husbands. I have. Said, Lord, if he won't wake up from what he's doing and these and the way he's treating his wife and his family terrible, he's not being a provider for his family, he's a lazy, no good lout, Lord, punish this man. Cause him to wake up. And you know, sometimes God has answered my prayer and punished them. And sometimes they woke up. Now you think that I'm just cruel for saying that. Of course, the best thing would be for just the man to wake up without bad things happening. But sometimes God has to send a little misery in a person's life just so their eyes will be opened. I do believe that. It happens sometimes. And I'm so sorry that it does have to happen. And I want to tell you something right now. I'm going to make an admission. I've had God send bad things in my life. The Bible says if God loves you, he will chasten you. And I've looked at those things and said, well, Lord, it looks like I've got my comeuppance coming. It looks like this is the best for me. You sure knew me. You knew I wasn't going to repent and come around, but you taught me a good lesson here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go right on to the living now. And I'm telling you, friends, you'll be surprised. Do not ever blame God for your difficulties, for the bad things that happen to you. When bad things happen to good people, they just thank God and go right on. Okay, that's a secret, friends, a big secret. Now, don't tell your other pastor friends. They'll say Tex Mars is all wet. But I'm telling you the truth. You listen to me and you will prosper. I promise you. Okay. And by the way, it's only biblical. It's only biblical. Every time a man sinned in the Old Testament, God didn't give him another reward. He chastened them. And they were the better for it. They were the better for it. Doesn't mean the consequences were always nice. No. But they were the better for it. And if they repented, things got a lot better. And you know, the old devil just can't get a hold of you when you've repented. Because Jesus takes that sin and throws it into some cave somewhere. I don't know exactly the mechanism, but I can tell you this much. He throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. And the old devil tries to come back. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is there where when Moses died, the devil came for his body. Did you know that, friends? It could be that someday the devil's going to come for your body, too. You say, no, he can't do that. I'm saved. Oh, well, that won't stop him from coming after you. Even when you're dead, the devil's going to come after you, friends. Possible. He sure came after Moses. And the devil said to the archangel Michael, who God had sent to collect Moses, there was a little dispute there. And the devil said, hold it just a minute. Now, I'm paraphrasing him. But he said, just a minute. You know, Moses didn't live a perfect life. There was a lot of sin there. Moses belongs to me. What do you think the archangel Michael would say about you after you're dead and the devil comes for you, friends? You think Archangel Michael is going to take up for you? I hope so. He took up for Moses. Now, he didn't try to come up with some lengthy justification why the devil doesn't deserve to get Moses. He simply said, the Lord rebuke you. Wow. Now, that tells you the way we treat the devil, doesn't it? Don't argue with the devil. Don't try to massage it. Don't try to outthink him. He's smarter than you. Don't waste your time on the devil. Michael didn't. Now think about that. The archangel Michael said to the devil, the Lord rebuke you. It says there, Jude says, he didn't come up with any railing accusations. You know, he didn't start calling the devil names and saying, I accuse you of this or that. No railing accusations. He simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." Well, you know what happened, friends. You know what where Moses is today, don't you? Of course, he's in heaven. And the devil must have shrank when Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you." Friends, this is good therapy for the devil. And he needs a good therapist, doesn't he? So why don't you just act as the devil's therapist? And the next time the devil tries to make mincemeat of you in your life, why don't you just say, "The Lord rebuke you." Okay? Do that. See what happens. Now, first of all, friends, you submit yourself to God. And then when the devil comes to see you and starts giving you a hard time in your life, you just say, "Get out of here, devil. The Lord rebuke you." I'm telling you, friends, whatever you lock up on earth is going to be locked up. And whatever you release is going to be released. And you just release the word of God. And you'll be surprised. The devil will flee from you. I've seen it again and again and again. There is the power of the Lord Jesus. Now, you can write to us. If you want to send us a love gift, if the Holy Spirit has led you, wonderful. If not, well, maybe all you want is a prayer. Do you need us to pray for you? I think that's a good thing to do. And we'd love to pray for you. Now, it might be you want to write us a little love note and say, "Dear Brother Tex, I'm praying for you." You know, we need prayers too. We need all the prayers we can get. I never have turned down a prayer. I've never had somebody say, "Brother Tex, I'll pray for you." And I said, "Oh, I don't need that. I'm all prayed up." No, I've never been prayed up. Never been prayed up. So I need your prayers. I need your prayers. I think that's the only reason I'm alive. I'm not being dramatic. I'm just telling you the truth. Because of the prayers of the saints. When the saints prayed, the devil fled. And I thank you for that. You've saved my life over and over again. It's true. Thank you so much. And I like to hear from you. If you have been praying for this ministry, write me a little note. "Dear Brother Tex, we've been praying for you." I'd appreciate that. I just have to say I'm a little selfish. It just makes me feel good to know a friend is praying for me. And that's why I want to pray for you too. If you will write to me with your prayer needs, I promise you I will pray for your specific prayer needs. Now, I know a lot of people say that on the radio and they don't do it. A lot of ministers. I promise you, I will get your letter, I will personally read it, and I will personally pray for you. The day only has 24 hours, but God will give me enough time. He will. Maybe that's supernatural too, but I have enough time to pray for you. And I'm a pretty busy fella. Hey, now we're going to have a song. "Mansion on a Hilltop." You know, this is an old classic. I still love it. "Mansion on a Hilltop." And then we're going to have part two of our series on the fear factor. This is Tex Mars. This is the worship service of Bible Home Church.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the I want to go on 'cause I'm not discouraged, 'cause I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim, I'm in search of a city, and I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the rooftop in that bright land where we will never grow.
Big Brother must know that we believe in free speech, and we read what we want to read. They get Tex Mars's newsletter. Who knows? Well, what should we fear? When should we fear it? How much should we fear things? And whom? Who are the ones that we should fear? You know, personally, I'm going to have to tell you, so I'm going to make a terrible confession. I don't really want to, but I'm going to confess something to you that, oh, I may have mentioned it, but I've never made it into a big deal. But because you're my friends, I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not a very courageous man. A lot of people write to me and they give me credit more than I deserve. I appreciate that. I like to be thought of as a courageous, bold, brave warrior for the Lord Jesus. I do. I want to be known as a man who fights injustice, exposes the unfruitful works of darkness, according to Ephesians 5, verse 11. We'll get over that, cross that a little bit more on that in a minute. I want to be known as that man everybody looks at and says, wow, he's a John the Baptist type. He says what's true. He doesn't care what happens to him. But deep inside, I must tell you, I'm not that man. It's really a very pitiful story. I'm just not a courageous man. I'm really a coward. By instinct, I am cowardly. Now, you say, but well, how is it that you have your ministry? How is it that you're able to stand when so many people have fallen? I mean, Tex, you've had IRS audits. That's right. They audited my personal finances 3 years. They audited my ministry over 3 years, and they took 3 years to do it. Can you imagine having the IRS on your back for 3 years of your life, looking over every aspect of your finances, trying to find something on purpose to put you in prison? They didn't just come here because I was chosen at random, you know. They didn't pull my, you know, name out of a hat. Somebody said, go audit that guy. He's preaching things. He's saying things on the radio. He's writing books and exposing things we don't want. Show him who's boss. Put it to Tex Mars. Give it to him. Sock it to him. I even know who put the IRS on my trail. Not just the IRS. I guess I've had about 3 or 4 visits. I can't remember exactly, from the FBI. Oh, they just wanted to touch base with me. Sure. I've had people write to me and say they know Masonic muckety mucks, and they have determined that I'm to be whacked. I'm to be killed. Really? I've had homosexual monsters. One man called up and said, I've got a gun. I'm on my way to your ministry right now. I'm speaking on my car phone.
He seemed to be just a few miles from this ministry. He said, I'm going to be Tex Mars' worst nightmare. Seemed to be, he was on his way. I guess he was going to kill me. We just continued to do our work here at the ministry. He never showed up. I've come to work in the morning and there's signs of some kind of a witchcraft ceremony. Hasn't happened very much. Just a couple of times in the years since we've been here and at our previous workplace. I've had Jews that are angry and they write to me and say, we're going to destroy you. I've had pranks played on our website and viruses sent to us. Every time I open my email, it just keeps flashing up, virus, virus, virus. You better have that firewall, you better have that protection, or you're going to be toast on the internet. I believe it's Jewish organizations and the Israeli Mossad and the CIA and the FBI playing little tricks, trying to destroy our message on the internet.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.